we're on part two of building up. We build up the body of Christ. God is not trying to break you down. So we understand that. God is not trying. Because throughout the New Testament, and I'm not even seeing that God is trying to break people down, because that's not what the Holy Spirit comes to do. The Holy Spirit comes to unite us. He's not trying to break you down. He doesn't force you to do anything. If anyone's trying to force you to do something behind the scenes, understand that is not of God. That is just of them. That's out of the flesh. And one of the things that I think that comes with James 4:7 can be used as like basically spiritual gaslighting if it's not used correctly in context of scripture. Because people can say, the reason why you got a lot of stuff going on in your life is because you're not submitted to God. And you could be truly submitted to God and doing what God has called you to do, but at the same time, it's just like, because gaslighting is basically just to get you to question your own reality. Get you to question God. So if, wait a minute, am I not submitted to God? I don't know. Maybe I need to start submitting. Otherwise, these things won't start. It'll stop coming in my life again. And, you know, the enemy's attacking me and I'm not submitted to God. And it says to submit to God and resist the devil and everything else. But if we're saying that constantly, we're questioning on whether or not we are submitted to God. Somebody just gaslit you. James 4:7, taken out of context, will gaslight you so quick. Because the Bible also says that those who desire to live a godly life will suffer persecution. So if these attacks are coming, that's like saying that the Apostle Paul was not submitted to God. Because there was a messenger that was sent to him, that was sent to buffet him, and it was a messenger of Satan. It wasn't from God. So he could be saying, all these attacks are coming against me because I'm not submitted to God. No, he was submitted to God. So don't ever allow somebody to tell you something different than what you know. You know if you're listening to the word, you know when you're following God, that is one thing. So I can just say, let's just say, for instance, I want an individual here who's not sitting here. I want them to submit to me as a man of God. They need to be submitting. And so in order for me to get them to submit and so I can control them, and I don't do that, I'm going to send attacks in their life. One by one, little by little, just one by one, just attack after attack. And then I get up here and see, the Bible says, if you submit yourself to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. And they're thinking, man, that's the reason why all these attacks are coming in my life, because I'm not submitted to Pastor Tim and I'm not submitted to God. And then they get to the place to where they submit to me, and then now I can control them in the way that I want to control them, and then I can call off the attacks. See, you submitted yourself to God and resist the devil, and now he's fleeing from you. Backed off the attacks. I said, that could be the spiritual gaslighting I'm talking about. That's why I love spoiling the enemy's plans. Why? Because I'm for the people. God's for you. That's why he's equipped you. That's why he's given you authority to do these things. And sometimes people don't want you operating in that authority because they're not operating in it. Everything that Jesus came, he says, the works that I do shall you do, and you will do even greater works than I, because I'm going to the Father. And anything that you ask in my name, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. So when people try to say, hey, you can't do that around here, I'm not submitted to you, I'm submitted to my Father. We're going to be reading out of Mark chapter 16, and it talks about these signs that are given to you. It says, after Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman whom he had cast out 7 demons. Now look at this. This is a great witness. The first person to see Jesus is the one who had cast it out. He had cast out 7 demons. What a great witness. See, Jesus doesn't choose the popular ones. He chooses the ones that will serve him, that are faithful to him. Matter of fact, he appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days, I believe about 9 times, but he appeared to everyone that actually believed him. He could have revealed himself to all of Israel after the resurrection. He didn't. He only appeared to the ones that believed in his name. Verse 10, it says, she went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't what? They didn't believe her. We're called believers for a reason. We believe Jesus. We believe what he's done. And Jesus had told them multiple times, even in the book of Matthew and earlier in the chapters of Mark chapter 9. He had told them these things, that he was going to die. He was going to be handed over. He was going to die. He was going to be resurrected. And now he's resurrected and he revealed himself to Mary. They don't believe her. So they don't even believe in the message of resurrection, the first one. Verse 12. Afterward, he appeared in a different form to two of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. Now, any of y'all watched The Passion of the Christ? Is there a sequel coming? You know, I thought there was a sequel. I thought they were working on it. But if they're working on it, I would love to see this part right here. Because they talk about when Jesus was opening up the scriptures to him, he goes, wasn't our hearts not burning? Ooh, that's what happens. I said, we got to get back to that place to when we open up the Bible and the Holy Spirit reveals us his word, our hearts begin to burn for him. That's a beautiful thing. When Jesus opened up the scriptures to them, they didn't know who he was. And then when their eyes were opened, then he vanished. But he's walking on his road and he's opening up the word of God to him. We got to get to the place to where we hunger for this again, where we, it's just, Lord, I just want this and I don't want anything else. I just want to sit in your presence right here. Why? I want my heart to burn for you again. In the book of Revelation, Jesus rebukes the church of Ephesus. Why? When you defend the faith, you defend all these other things, he says, but you left your first love. Come on back to your first love. When you came into the kingdom, what was it about? Was it really about getting after somebody else, getting these things here, getting that? It was just about coming to church, hearing about Jesus, sharing the gospel with other people. It wasn't about all this going after others and competing and doing all these other things. It was about him. It was about sitting down and getting to know him. In prayer, it was getting to know him. We got to get back to that first love. Well, I don't know. They're not playing my favorite song. Get back to it. It doesn't matter what song. I used to be that way. Who is this whistling in service? Sit right here. But you know what? It was the love that he had. We got to get back to that. God desires that. Didn't our hearts burn? And he said, as we were walking from Jerusalem into the country, he appeared to two. Verse 13, he says, they rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. This is the second message on the resurrection, and no one believed. Yet Jesus spoke with them. He never lied to them. He never misled them. He never deceived them. And yet even them, they didn't believe. Now, I'm not going to discredit anybody in a sense. It's like, you know, sometimes we don't believe. But Jesus tells Thomas, it is better to believe and not see than to see and believe. We are more blessed because we didn't walk with Jesus on earth. We didn't see him eating. We didn't see him doing certain things and just resting. And you would think the Messiah would be floating on air and all this. That wasn't the case. He got tired just like everyone else. He was limited in his own body, but he was showing us how we're supposed to be living this earth and walking this earth. How he does it, we do it. We don't follow anyone else's example, and thank God for the ones who went before us. They were mighty men, but our example is Jesus. So if we want to be like him in every way, we open this up, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. There's no way. All God requires is for you to believe. Do I believe in healing? 1,000% I do. You know why? Because Jesus said it. He demonstrated. He died for it. He died for your health. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. It matters what goes on here, because you're, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I said, it matters what you do with your soul here. Renew it with the word of God. If the Bible says it, I don't care what the doctor said. This is what the Bible says. And I'm going to put what the Bible says over what anyone else says. Over this TikTok, over this social media or what have you. I'm going to choose the word of God every day of the week. Because the enemy will use any kind of avenue to deter you from what this says right here. Let's get an agreement. Come on, honey. Let's get an agreement. Come on, babe. Let's get an agreement. What does this word say about our situation? Because everything that you got going on in your life, right here. Any kind of problem that the enemy wants to throw at you and the world wants to, and the world comes against you, I said, Jesus has already solved it right here. You're going to have problems. Don't focus on problems. Focus on Jesus. Fix your focus. Keep Jesus in focus. Everything else, blurt out. What he's done for you on the cross. You facing ailments in your body, you got stuff going on, he's got it taken care of right here. Every single time. And sometimes we don't exalt, well, this so-and-so said this, they said this, and I was listening to this person over here, and they said that, and you know, and it's just, hey, it doesn't matter what they say, it matters what his word says. That's why even when it comes to giving, like some people will say, well, I don't have enough to give. I don't have enough to give. You do if you give off the top. You know you have enough for your coffee because you put that aside. You'll have enough for that energy drink. I said, Seven Brews love my wife. They call her by first name. Good night. But it matters. It matters what it's. So when you're putting God's word first, when you're putting God first, I don't have enough to do this. When you make him first, he'll always make room for you. They rushed back to tell the others, but they didn't believe him. Still, later he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief. See, if there was a place to break somebody down, that would have been it right there. Why aren't you listening? How come you're not submitted to what's being said? How come you're not doing and believing the resurrection, after I told you a couple of times? How come you're not doing that? He just rebukes him. Rebuking is a good thing. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 27:5, I don't know if I gave you that one, or don't worry about it. It is better to rebuke openly. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. So that's why you do it. It's kind of like a parent. If you ever see a parent and a child is acting up in a store, did any of y'all ever spank your child in the store? Is it because you hated them or because you loved them? And because they were acting crazy. Just be coming out here embarrassing me like that. Keep it real. I'm serious. But you do it because you love them, because you don't want them going out acting that way towards anyone else. An open rebuke is a lot better than hidden love. And that's what God does. That's why Jesus was able to rebuke Peter. He was able to correct Judas when he was trying. This money could have been, this stuff could have been sold for a year's worth of wages. And he says, don't bother her. And the Bible says Judas didn't say that because he cared about the poor. It's because he helped himself to the treasury. Jesus knew that. And yet, if there was anybody to break anyone down, don't you think it would have been Judas? What's your silly self? No, scripture says he loved them to the very end. But he rebuked them for their unbelief. His correction wasn't long and drawn out and missed a lot of manipulation going on. It wasn't that. It was just a stern rebuke. Rebuking is for correction. Rebuke. The word of God is inspired by the word of God, the Holy Spirit. The word of God is God inspired. Profitable for doctrine, for correction, for teaching, for training. Up in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. Jesus rebukes them so that they can do the next thing here. Verse 15. He says, and then he told them, go into the world and preach the good news to everyone. That's what rebuking is for. So you go out and do the works of Christ. That's what correction is for, so you can go out and do the works of Christ. That's what the teaching and training up is for, is so that you will go out, be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. We do the works of Jesus. Told them, go into the world and preach the good news, or in some cases, too good to be true news. What Jesus did for you on the cross is good news. It wasn't to break you. It was to deliver you, to set free, to save you. Salvation is a good thing. Sozo is a great word. It means healed, delivered, prosperity, safety, protection. It means all those things. That's a beautiful thing. Verse 16, it says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be what? Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, you don't need baptism in order to be saved. But it is a good thing to get baptized because it's just a public acknowledgement of what Jesus has done for you. So I don't know why anybody would not want to be publicly baptized. That's saying, hey, I place my faith in Jesus. I've accepted what he's done for my life. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. It didn't say anyone who refuses to be baptized will be condemned. Anyone who refuses to believe, what? In the good news of Jesus Christ. They will be condemned. Verse 17 says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who, what? There's the thing. You have to believe. Well, this isn't for everyone. I heard somebody tell me that before. This isn't for everyone. I said, I know. You have to believe. Other denominations, if they don't want to believe, that's on them. But blame it on your belief system, not on God. God never told you that. They will cast out what? In my name. And they will speak in new languages. They will cast out demons. And there's people who have like deliverance ministry. Jesus wasn't going around saying, hey, I got a deliverance ministry. That was just part of it. He wasn't specializing in one thing. We don't specialize in one thing. That is every born again believer's right to do that right there. Do I have to check with Pastor Tim? You have your permission right there. Believe. And no, I will not try to shut it down if you, because we're in competition. No. You're doing it for the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Tim. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. There's a guy, matter of fact, seen a guy online on my algorithm. Talking about deliverance ministry, and he said when people are operating in like a Leviathan spirit or something like that, this is the one I've seen, he was saying there's symptoms to it. Headaches, stiff neck, insomnia, back pain. It's like, why would anybody ever want to get involved in that if that's the case? Seriously, why would you want to get bent up like a question mark just so that you can push out a narrative? That don't make any sense. If they're doing that, they just take the truth of a word, twist it, put it out there to other people. It's like, I ain't got time for that. That's tiring just talking about it. Verse 18, it says, they will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be what? We won't be bringing snakes in this church. I am not a handler. I don't do that. But Jesus did give them authority over the serpents and the scorpions. He gave them authority over that. And there was a time, even in Acts 28, He says, once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. This is where he got shipwrecked. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from a hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. But Paul shook it off into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up and suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their mind and decided he was a god. This is the only instance where it talks about a snake being handled as far as even the disciples. No, you don't need to handle snakes for people to believe that you are a believer. I've seen videos like that. Dude died and got bit trying to handle a king cobra. That'll teach you. I wonder what that next service was like. Doesn't matter what people thought. People thought that he was a murderer. The world will always think something of you. People who don't get the whole story will always think it's so important to just stick with what the Word of God says. And what God says about you. They're going to say something negative about you. Doesn't matter. What matters is what God says about you. They're going to try to stir something up. Oh, well, you know, he must have done something really bad. That's the reason why. No. Paul just kept working. Shook it off. Just kept working. Waiting for him to die. Didn't happen. There'll be people who are waiting for you to die. People waiting for you to crumble. People who are waiting for you to just fold like a $2 suitcase. And it doesn't happen. And then, well, they're on to the next thing. Wonder where question mark is going. Why? They're trying to twist the narrative. Just call them question mark. And every time they talk, they just say, what? What? No, <I'm sorry. laughs> God bless people. What's the next scripture? Give me that. Do I have any after that one? No? God's called you to do something extraordinary. We build each other up. That's what we're called to do. Hebrews 10, 24. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and what? Let us think of ways. He didn't say plot against. Let us think of ways. What are ways that we can motivate one another to build each other up? Acts of love, good works. How can we express our love and gratitude for other people? That's what we come together to do, is to build one another up. How can we bless this family? Here, I think now what we do when people are going through some stuff, we'll give them gift cards and stuff like that for them to help them so they don't have to do meals and what have you. I think that's a little better, Kristen. She doesn't like potlucks. She doesn't like people bringing meals and stuff like that. I don't know where it's been. So you just can't trust everybody with that stuff. Oh, bless it. So they'll give out gift cards. Why? They're thinking of ways to motivate one another, acts of love, trying to be kind, trying to bless one another. They're spending their time doing that. Spend time doing that. How can I bless someone? How can I show my appreciation for other people? How can I help them out? Think of ways doing that. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So we don't neglect this. Another version says, do not forsake, and forsake basically means to quit on. There's people who have quit. Stop going. They stop going to church literally after the COVID stuff. They just stop going. They'll go everywhere else, but they won't go to church. Well, I can't go to church here. I can't do this. I said, but I see you over here. I see you at the restaurant. I see you at the bingo house. I see you in Walmart. I see you everywhere else, but you're not coming to the church. Well, what happened? They allowed a man-made disease to stop them. You don't have to fear that. Do not neglect meeting together. Where your people are gathered, where your tribe is gathered, go meet with them. You have Bible studies? Go. We have Bible studies. Women, 6:30? 7? 6:30. Women, make yourself available to that. Great Bible study. Don't neglect. Why? Because you need it. You need that family of faith, people who will pray for you. When you're going through trials and tribulations, they're there with you because they've been through it before. They can help you get an agreement. Why neglect that? Even when it comes to our children. I made sure, man, every single time when I was doing youth, I was picking everybody up as much as I could. I was inviting every player that played under me. Why? They need a tribe too. Not just a basketball team, but they need a good team. There was one particular time where we did a lock-in here. We had 88 students and 55 of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Kids pouring their heart out, crying. Why? They needed something deeper. Your children need something deeper. We need something deeper. We need the presence of God in our lives. So when you are opening up that Bible, it is just, Lord, that warmth, your heart's burning. It's almost like you're excited to just get into the Word again. And I'm asking the Lord to refresh that in us. That's my heart. Where you sit at the table or in your room or in your comfortable chair with I like a nice comfortable chair with a lamp. Soft white. I'm particular. And you can just sit there and read. And read and just spend time in His presence. Where you don't want to get up. Phone, and throw that across the room. Where you're just sitting in His presence and just soaking it all in. And He's just, hey, come and fellowship with me. He's building you up. And one of the ways it tells us to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So as you're sitting there reading, you can ask the Lord to fill you up. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Fill me up. I need my heavenly prayer language. Fill me up. And then as He begins to fill you up, you believe that. You open up your mouth and you begin to speak. And the Holy Spirit will intercede with you. And He won't take over. You can shut Him off and on. And the more you do it, the more fluent you're going to be. Even if you just start out with allow the Holy Spirit to just flow with you. Because it's a beautiful thing. One of the most beautiful sounds that I've ever heard. We were at FCF and everybody was singing in the Spirit. Wow. I was in the back, and I'm just like, whoa, this is cool. This is pretty dope. So when you're speaking in tongues, those new languages, you're speaking to your Heavenly Father, direct. The enemy doesn't know what you're doing. He can't devise a plan to trip you up. God knows. And the most important thing is right here is you're praying the perfect will of the Father. It's not yours. It's not anyone else's. It's God's will that you're praying. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. gifts that build up the church is speaking in tongues with interpretation and also prophesying. This is the same as. 1 Corinthians 13:13, it talks about the greatest of these is love, and these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. In chapter 14, verse 1, it says, now follow love and eagerly desire these spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So when you're sitting there reading, ask God, Lord, I want to follow love. Lord, I just desire to prophesy in your name for you. There's people who back away from that. And that's them, because they're not a believer. They're a believing, unbelieving believer in certain areas. But you desire to prophesy so that you may build the church up. Amen. Build up. Think of ways that you can motivate one another through love and good works. Encourage one another. Build each other up. People need it. People are going through stuff. Build each other up. That's an important thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone here, you've never given your life to Jesus and you want to do that for the first time, raise your hand and we'll pray with you. If there's anyone here who needs healing in their body, no matter what it is, we'll get an agreement. We'll command it to leave in the name of Jesus. Raise your hand. Or come on up. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I'll wait. I know there's more. Thank you. I got chicken legs. They used to tell me I have chicken legs. Yes. Thank you. Anyone else? I know there's at least two. What's your name? They told you. Mm-hmm. What does the word say? 2,000 years ago, Jesus already did it. You know, they try to make it out to be as if I was pre-diabetic. Oh, isn't everybody? That's the case. But that's nothing to fear. Right. Jesus bore it. His name above all names, even diabetes, being diabetic. Is that what you want for the rest of your life? No. I said, so we're in agreement. And even with your husband, we're in agreement. In the name of Jesus, we speak right now, Lord, to this disease that you have died for already. Command our body to be healed. Blood cells to be working as it should work. Regardless of what the diagnosis is, Lord, your diagnosis says, by your stripes, Charlize is healed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for healing in that. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Thank you, Jesus. You agree with that? Amen. Yes, ma'am. You've been getting sick once a month for the last 2 years. You know how you change that? No buts. You confessed what it was. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. I said, you don't say that anymore, even though it's happening. That is the truth. But faith can override that. No more sickness. No more sickness. No more sickness. in your house. In the name of Jesus. Speak to this. Sickness. We command you to leave. Right now. From my house. In Jesus' name. You have no right to be there. Because Jesus bore our sicknesses and our diseases. Amen. You believe that? So when it tries to come, I said, it will make attempts, but you come against it. And do not return. There you go. What kind of sickness was it? Doesn't matter. See, I was trying to bait you on that one. Doesn't matter. Hey, how's that sickness going? What sickness? What sickness? Amen? Okay. Thank you for the card. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.